for Bailey. Bailey's already kicked the goal from there. He breaks loose. Miracle goal. What a goal from Bailey.
And I declare the winner of the 2023 Brownlow Medal, Lachie Neal of the Brisbane Lions Football Club.
The Queens of the Jungle, they reclaim their throne. The Brisbane Lions are AFLW Premiers for the second time.
Back to Rayner. Rayner from 55. Is this the perfect response? Bang!
Ashcroft out of midair. Oh, you are kidding me!
My God!
Something unbelievable from the kid. That is ridiculous.
We've got a top-end nude out there in Robinson. And he is loving it.
Oh, he's texting.
He's almost flexing.
He's texting.
Here's Charlie again. Cue that song back up.
Brisbane Lions Fancast back for episode 2 of 2024 with ideally some better audio this week after a few little gremlins in the system last week. We're back. Back on top of technology, back with a Guernsey on top of a moving trolley, back with our great sponsors, Hop On Brewery Tours and Crisp Communications, and we've got some footy to talk about, albeit a little pracky match against the Suns. Patrick, you watched it. You didn't have the nicest of things to say about it.
I reckon that was the longest game of football I've ever watched.
Well, I mean, I suppose six periods of footy will do that to you. I must admit, by the time that the twos rolled in, I paid less attention. I was watching pretty sort of I was watching pretty closely for the first four periods, and then by the time the twos rolled in, I was still watching, but the Suns looked far superior, tell you that, in those last two quarters or whatever.
I had to break it up over 2 days. I was like, gave myself the first half or the first three quarters and then the second three quarters, because I was like, oof.
Yeah.
You know, it was all fair, given the fact that a scrub turkey got most of the airtime in that, like, last third.
Yeah.
It also featured, I got to say, Tom Rockliffe wasn't that terrible on color commentary.
He was okay.
He had a couple of zingers. The one that I liked the most was when they were talking about that new draftee from the Suns being a 6'10" guy that runs like a 6'1" guy.
Oh, the unicorn.
And he chimes in with I was a 6'1" guy that ran like a 6'10" guy.
Yep.
So, you know, admittedly, you kind of forget that Tom Rockliffe existed a lot of the time, but there he was.
Yeah, he has popped up. I know he's done a few AFLW games and a few little bits here and there on Fox over the last couple of years, but considering some of the commentary that was put forward by KO or Fox for some of these scratchies, we did all right with the two that we got, and Rocky was all right.
Yeah, the better BT, I got to say.
Yeah,
he knew his stuff far more than the other BT. So we're what, 2 minutes in? I've given BT one, and I've given him two last week. So fair enough, whatever. But it was it was a relative game of football.
Yeah, obviously there's a few little bits and pieces that we can talk about. Darcy Gardner up forward is probably the headline of those things.
Straight to the goal square he went.
His first touch, that inside 50 was pretty nice to Hipwood.
That was where he sort of took it up center wing, rolled and hit straight up. Yeah, that was like a 150-game veteran of the position. I got to say, like, they did make mention of it in the comms that it was like he was playing the McStay role, which is kind of interesting that that is still thought of as a thing given we haven't had it for a year. And I think we all kind of know what that sort of means, but yeah, the third tall, Rayner played a lot through the middle, and we'll talk a bit more about that, I think, a bit later on. But yeah, it was surprisingly, the disposal was okay for sort of the first portion of the game. It kind of things, they didn't fall apart, but they got kind of sloppy pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly when you have a couple of forwards that just decide to turn it on pretty quickly. I know Chuck was playing on a fairly inexperienced Suns defender, and yeah, the Suns are trying some weird stuff out, and who really knows what they're actually doing at this point in time. So what are your kind of general thoughts?
I mean, yeah, general thoughts. It looked like a team that was a kick away from a premiership versus a team that's got a new coach and new system being put in place. So it was about par for the course, I thought. Yeah, and I thought Harris looked really good. I thought Charlie looked really good. Hippie, although he didn't necessarily finish off all his work, he presented well and got a couple of snags on the board. Dunkley played really well. As you said, Rayner in the middle. I thought he had a great game. Interesting to see Jimmy Madden sort of in the A team with Jimmy Tunstall as well. So obviously they've put in decent pre-seasons and Fags wanted to give him a run in the probable team.
Same with Sharpie as well. He was starting on the wing. So the three of them, I think Madden's probably in there because of McKenna.
Yep.
But Tunstall certainly didn't do himself any not favours.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of a favour.
Like a disservice, I suppose.
Yeah, didn't do himself any disservice. He kicked a goal and his disposal seemed better.
Yep.
But as to whether, you know, round one or two or round five turns up and he's still on the team, who knows? Some sort of notable absentees was sort of Kyle Lohmann took a bit to kind of get on the field.
Yeah.
He sort of spent more time with the others. Same a bit too with Froggy. He sort of spent more time with the seconds. And Jackson Pryor as well. It's funny message you sent me where you said, oh, it's only a preseason, but Jackson Pryor's having a mare. And I sort of, because I wasn't watching it live, I was like, I wonder when he sent this. And I don't know when, because I didn't think he was that bad, but, you know.
He had a few moments that were very reminiscent of that Hawthorn game he played last year, and you're just like, wow. There was a lot of, you know, there's been a few little teaser videos that the Lions have posted, like, oh, who's having a good preseason and who's putting, you know, stuff out on the track. And a lot of people said Pryor and a lot of people said Kyle Lohmann. So to see them both in the, like, the possible team rather than the probable team was a bit of a surprise. And, yeah, I wouldn't have said that Jackson Pryor had improved remarkably. But, like I said, it's only one, you know, preseason match to go off. Yeah,
it does seem kind of like it was funny because I remember you sent me a message, you know, a few years ago when he sort of came into the team. He said, "I don't really know what he does."
Yeah,
prior he was a first year player. He sort of came out of nowhere and was playing on the wing, but he was just like I thought he was way better on the wing than he was down half back, to be honest. And I think that probably like there's more, well, there had been more opportunity for him to stay as a winger, but maybe not. Maybe he was advised against it or something like that, but. I thought his running capacity and his ability to pop up where he needed to be kind of at a time. So this is sort of before Archie and Fletcher kind of established themselves. So, like, there was a position there up for grabs that wasn't taken. So I don't know what that was about.
There's another guy that played most of his game in the back half of the scratch. He was Archie, sort of found himself running around in the VFL team a little bit more, which... seems to be the case most years for Archie. He starts off, you know, out of favour, then gets in via injury, and then you're like, okay, well, he's good. Leave him in.
Well, he was virtually undroppable in the back half of last year.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think anyone's really questioning what he does anymore. I mean, certainly early on in his Lions career, it was a bit, what's he doing? But, yeah, he's probably a little bit unlucky to be there, but maybe it's just trying certain things out. And as I said last week, looking at those like, incremental improvements and just trying to find, like, will this one thing make other things slightly better? You know, will Sharp's running facilitate something else or, you know, anything like that? But at the same time, when you're missing, you know, Lachie Neal, Barry wasn't there, Dev Robb wasn't there, and I think those are probably three names that will go into the starting 22 or close,
yep.
Definitely Neal. But there's arguments to be made for the other two as well. Kyle Lohmann looked a little bit bigger.
Yeah, he's put on a bit of size, yeah.
Which is good because when I saw him down in Werribee sitting next to a bin, he looked like an ibis. So he was small fry. But, you know, hopefully... Kyle Lohmann's a funny one because it's sort of like he hasn't ever really done anything, but everyone's sort of got such high hopes for him, more or less sort of based on not a lot, but... hopefully.
Well, it's just he's playing a position that's going to be very tough to crack into when you've got... he plays that Lincoln McCarthy role, essentially. And Link had a fantastic game on Thursday as well. So he really needs an injury, or was it last year when Link got suspended that Kyle Lohmann came in? So it's going to be... he's going to need to wait his turn, but I think, you know, the potential is definitely there. He's... you know, crafty forward who can get up in the air, kick goals. Like it is the Lincoln McCarthy role that he's hoping to take. It's just whether he can find the opportunity to take it. You've also got, obviously, Bailey, Charlie Cameron, Rayner, you know, we've got a host of people that play similar roles, so it's a very tough position to crack into.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's learned how to fall this year. So Zorko started the game with, he had a rocket up his ass, I got to say. He was like flying through into anything, and it's just like, man, you're like 37 or whatever. Can you just relax a little bit? It's first game of preseason. How old is he? 34,
33, 35? One of those probably, yeah.
Yeah. It's in the 30s. Yeah, it's just like relax a little bit. But it did make me think, you know, mentioned last week, could he be a good sub? Yeah. And, you know, us as a club, we haven't quite... I mean, I don't think a lot of teams have really unlocked the true what a sub can do. But having someone that comes on like and sets their own pace, beats to their own drum, can kind of impact it in their own way, I think could be like the most viable way of doing that. Because, you know, how often, and I did tear JL a new one last week, just saying, you know, he came on and he looked like he'd played for, you know, 3.5 quarters before he came on in the grand final. It's like, you don't want someone who's going to look like they've played, and Zorko's not going to be that person. He's going to go in and he's going to do Zorko things.
Yes.
And he's going to run around and run a mark and impact and like basically cram a game's worth into 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that's perfect. You know, you put in your like, you know, prospective Lions team, Mitch Robbo as a sub. And this isn't really that too dissimilar, I got to say.
I mean, yeah. You
know, that idea.
Just coming on and, as you said, with a rocket up your ass, going to make an impact. I've got, you know, 10, 15, maybe two quarters of worth of footy here to show that I'm an AFL player that can make a difference. What am I going to do? Just go bunter. And I think Mitch Robinson would have done that. And I think Zorko, yeah, I can definitely see him doing that.
And I think we need to not play with the fear of like, oh, if a key goes down and we don't have someone that's hybrid enough to be able to do that, because it doesn't really matter. Like, I am kind of in the camp of not wanting Zorko to sit too far behind the ball, because I think I don't like his first pass into the corridor as much as I like his second pass from the corridor inside 50. I think he can try and do a little bit too much of that first kick, and I'd just sooner see Kadeem Coleman do it all the time.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you? So that's kind of my take on that. Like, JL he played probably too much for my liking, but I feel like he'll come out for Lockie when he comes back in.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, those three names you mentioned before, Berry, Neil, and Dev, if they all come in, it does sort of... Because we both liked Rayner in the middle. Like, he had a big impact, had a good game. Is that going to push him forward and move Darcy Gardner out? Are we going to... I want to see Darcy Gardner play one more game up forward in this game against Sydney, just to see how it goes. And then, you know, you just sort of touched on it before. If we get an injury to a key, especially down back, well, then Darcy can go back. And then Rayner goes back to playing that sort of forward hybrid. We've got coverage there. We've got versatility. So I want to see at least once more against Sydney. I wouldn't say he... You know, there was enough from that practice game to go, yes, Darcy Gardner needs to play forward, make this happen. It was sort of like, there's potential there if we can pull it off right, but we know that we can get to a grand final without it.
Yeah, that is true. I did hear something interesting. I think it might have been on True Footy Podcast on YouTube, just where he's sort of talking about Collingwood and how, like, you know, he wasn't sure necessarily whether they were a better team this year as last year, like, you know, McStay not being there. And he brought up the idea of they won the premiership with McStay playing, with McStay out, but he did play and carry the load throughout the year. And I think that's a big thing that can happen is, like, throughout the year, you need your squad to contribute.
Yeah.
Because if you have a certain player crashing packs and doing stuff every week, he's going to be far more absolutely knackered by the end of the season than if he's sharing the load with two other guys to do it. So I think using the squad could be, yeah, more of a thing. We've seen that, like, Gardner can come in and, you know, it was weird last year, like, those couple of games when him and Rich came in and they looked past it, but then Diz came in for a prelim and a grand final and looks really good.
Yeah.
Froggy came in and similarly, like, exceeded all expectations on what he could do. So if there's a level of versatility there, and like think back to it, you know, we had Daniel Bradshaw going forward, going back, Leppich would go forward, would go back, Darryl White would swing. Like it wasn't just like we had one dude to swing between a, you know, a half back and half forward. It was like, oh, well, Darryl White's got the better of his guy, so we'll put this guy forward, like, you know, yep. rather than having to just have one lever to pull. It was sort of, which one do you want to go? Brilliant. And I think, you know, in sport generally, there's so much more focus on roles rather than on actual what your position is. Of course, it's going to be the level of structure to, you know, you're going to have a ruckman, you're going to have smaller on-ballers, but then even then, you know, it's far more focused on what your role is within the structure of the team at whatever time you need it to be in. So footy's gotten complicated, man.
Well, that and, you know, last year when Gunston was a regular, you know, member of the 22 and we were in the position where we had to have someone behind the ball, it was Gunston that did that. That very famous game against Melbourne where Gunston went behind the ball, you know, 5 minutes too early and, you know, we all know what happened there. But if that is suddenly Darcy Gardner that's going behind the ball, like completely different kettle of fish because we know he's a very accomplished key defender.
Well, they did that. So yeah. They did that in, obviously they had a mode that they wanted to try out with a couple of minutes left on the clock in maybe the first or second quarter. And yeah, he lined up on a wing and piss bolted back into the back line. And I'm happier with that.
Yeah, sure. 100%. Yeah.
The other thing as well is, you know, throughout last year, particularly going into the back half, going into finals, when you had all these like kind of key defenders going absolutely crazy with their intercepts and stuff, you know, David King kind of coined the phrase the disruptor.
Yep.
And Jake Melksham, he kind of put as his number one for that. And, you know, you reminded me because you fucking brought up that game. But could Darcy Gardner be the disruptor for our team?
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
We've seen like Link McCarthy do it probably more than anybody. He did it on Tom Stewart when we played Geelong, kind of floating, letting him kind of get the ball cheaply out the back of packs and stuff. But could Darcy Gardner be the kind of person to sit on a Darcy Moore or, you know, Radigalia or Alia now they're in the same team? Which one of them is going to go? Who knows?
Yeah. I rate it. I know, you know, Rayner's done it, you know, off and on as well before, probably to not as much acclaim. But, yeah, to have someone in your team like that, super handy. I thought our back six looked really good, actually. You know, without McKenna there, I thought the back six was pretty solid. Harris, you know, he was on track to take, you know, double-digit intercept marks pretty early on. Lukosius did sweet FA throughout the game. You know, King got, you know, off the chain a little bit here and there, and Ainsworth had a good game as well. So, but I thought, all in all, the back six were really good. And the movement out of defence, I don't know if you noticed, but there was like some really short kicks, the first sort of one, two, maybe three, before trying to bite off a kick into the middle. So they were trying to be a little bit more careful with their ball movement in those initial stages.
Yeah, they did seem a little bit more aggressive rather than just sort of long down the lining it, which is, you know, why would you want to go to plan D?
Yeah.
From, you know, the get-go. What did you make of Stasevich's like cue ball hair?
I don't mind it.
Sure. I got a theory. So you know about the ship of Theseus?
No,
right?
I don't.
Paradox. So the idea is that it's a great old ship, like a boat, and all of the parts progressively over the years get replaced due to wear and tear. So, you know, the mast gets changed, the sails get changed, to the point where every single piece on the ship has changed. Is it still the same ship? Is he trying to do that with his hair? Is he trying to cleanse himself of the grand final to remove every part of his body that can be, you know?
Maybe. I mean,
I can't continue with this bit. I'm trying to take myself too seriously, like I'm giving a lecture at Oxford or something.
Like, Stasevich last year was a little bit down on his previous couple of years, like, you know, 2021, 22, you would have said he was in, you know, the top five sort of small to medium defenders. I thought he'd dropped back from that sort of level a little bit last year without, you know, saying he had a horrible year or anything. Like, he was still a very decent footballer, but it was down on output compared. So, yeah, maybe there's a bit of, you know, that to it, but
Bit of Stasevich of Theseus. It's written there. It's the first note I made of the season. Starcevich of Theseus. Because I've got a brain the size of a peanut. But that was my first thought, is like, did he just burn all his hair off, shave his eyebrows, remove all of that? But no, I know what you mean, because he kind of, you know, there was some good meme content back in, you know, 19, 20, 21 of him just like howling these small forwards, you know, one after the other. It was like Dusty and Toby Green and whoever was good at that position at the time. And like, he just, whether it's his game got found out and exploited tactically, you know, whether there was more focus on him rather than the other way around, who knows? But hopefully he can have a better year. I think he's a bit of a confidence guy as well. So
yeah. And whether the game structure has just changed around and then he's not sort of playing his natural game as much, I don't know. Only, you know, real footy nuffs bigger than us can probably point to that sort of stuff more than we can. But, you know, hopefully he's going to... But like I said, that back six, they looked decent. Forward six looked decent as well. Joe had a pretty quiet game. That's not unusual, especially from a preseason scratchy. You can't imagine, like, he barely uses his whole ass, you know, in a grand final, let alone a preseason scratchy. So that's, you know, par for the course for Joe. You're going to get those, and I'd rather he do it now than round one.
I'm surprised he turned up, to be honest, but that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, was there any...
Lincoln McCarthy kicked a really good goal on his left foot. I love Lincoln McCarthy's left foot kicking style. It's so just relaxed and timing, and everything goes snap for an off-sided kick. Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anyone else that sort of caught your eye, or any particular moments that you recall aside from the bloody scrub turkey that was on the field?
Well, I'm also on a Gold Coast side. Like, Mac Andrew played far less than I would have assumed.
Yeah.
Because that guy is like Black Harris Andrews. Like, his name's the same. He wears the same number, same style. Like, that guy's going to be an absolute jet. So, I was surprised to see Mac Andrews not play more.
Yeah.
So, and also not surprised, but also surprised to see Dimmer wearing like full visor in the box at nighttime. Like, I doubled down on the them who go to the Q Clash, pack your glass bottles, because I hate that guy.
Perfect segue. We have got a double pass to the round at Q Clash at the Gabba. The premium seats, level two on the wing, couple of rows back. So if you want to get in the raffle for that, head to our website, brisbanelionsfancast.com.au. All the details are there. It's the old school meat tray rules, $2 a ticket, 3 for $5. So if you want to try and win yourself a double premium pass to the Q Clash, then brisbanelionsfancast.com.au is where you can get your tickets for that, hopefully, and should be a spicy little Q Clash. I mean, was it round 8? You'd have to think that by round 8, the Suns would start getting a grip on match day experience with their new system, new roles and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully it's not like our last Q Clash where they absolutely pantsed us, so we'll be out for vengeance that one. There was a few little spicy moments actually in that game. There was a few little scuffles. Rayner was getting stuck into a few here and there, and then the twos, there was a few more in the twos, but
was some of the likely suspects or usual suspects, mainly Jackson Pryor, because I have about 4 or 5 photos of just screenshots of him fighting with people from his like 10 AFL games, and they're all hilarious. So funny times. But, yeah, like, I mean, sometimes when you see that kind of stuff, you're like, oh, Charlie Cameron, do you really need to punch down this early?
Yeah.
Like, you probably don't, but also it's funny because it's Gold Coast. I don't like him. But also, you know, I wouldn't go and laugh in the face of, you know, your son or something like that because I'm, you know, a 32-year-old man. Seems a bit easy, like taking candy from a baby.
I mean, famous last words, I suppose. it was a bit strange, but also kind of nice to see as well that there's that genuine rivalry between the Lions and the Suns. So that's only going to grow over the next couple of years, and especially as the Suns start climbing the ladder, and hopefully if we're still sitting in that top 4, top 8, there'll be some really, really great, you know, clashes over the next few years. So we'll wait to see how that fosters.
Who would you kind of put the initial kind of catalyst for the rivalry? You know, because that rivalry sort of wasn't really, it wasn't, but then it kind of became it. Would you put it on Stephen May, like killing two people, you know, Tom Rockliffe and Seth Martin? Or would you put it on Nick Robertson and his comments to the media?
Yeah, well, I think really early on there was some manufactured rivalry where there was those billboards up on the M1, and there was, I think, Simon Black, who is the nicest guy in the world, who was sort of media trained to say, oh, they're a bunch of mercenaries or something like that. And they took Riscatelli, who was running BNF for us at the time, and Jared Brennan, who was probably one of our better enigmatic players, went down there as well. So there was a little bit of manufactured rivalry to begin with. And then, obviously, over the years, Zorko and Tuke Miller have just fed that over and over again. And then last year, it amped up, especially between those two, and Tuke just played out of his skin. And it was the best game I've ever seen the Gold Coast Suns play last year when they towered us up.
Old infamous squirrel grip game.
Yeah. But, you know, he had one of the great games. Like, he tagged Lachie Neal out of the game, also got 29-odd touches himself, you know, laid almost double-digit tackles, stuff like that, won the Q Clash medal. Like, perfect game from any midfielder.
He didn't get the three Brownlow votes that day, though, as well. It was that weird ferrety-looking dude.
Sure. I'm not sure who you're referring to, but okay.
Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Flanders?
Yeah, Anderson? No, Anderson, yeah. He had a great game as well. Bailey Humphrey actually looked quite... Didn't Bailey...
Oh, yeah. Far out, man. That was one of my things. Doesn't he look like a footballer now?
Doesn't he go... He went full Gold Coast in an off-season. Yeah. Cut his little mop-top hair.
He's got a
went the sleeve.
Calf tattoo, full sleeve. Yeah. I was like, man, you look like anyone's younger brother. Now you look like a fuckhead. So, good on you.
He had a great game, though. I think, we can expect big things from him over the next couple of years. And, you know, good news for Gold Coast as well. Ben King signed a deal as well. So, good stuff for those guys. So,
I'll never mince that picture of Bailey Humphrey in his media room or, you know, the foster parents' media room and all of that money being spent on tattoos and that kind of garbage. So, he looked like a Collingwood player playing for Gold Coast.
It took me a while to, you know, twig who it was running out there. I was like, oh. It's a man that's grown up.
I had to look up pictures, and I was like, I'm sure that guy had, like, a Legionnaire's haircut.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So, here he is. But that's all well and good. That was actually a note I forgot to make, but that was one of the main talking points I had, so that shows how much was really going on, which was not a lot, but it was footy, so what are you going to do?
Do you expect much change coming up this Thursday when we play the Swans, who did a number on... GWS in their first encounter?
I think it'd be good to get a bit of run into the three that missed out. I don't know what they're allowed to do in terms of squad, so whether they can just pull those three guys in or whether it would be the case of JL, Tunstall, and someone else coming out. Don't know, but...
I think they can... I mean, I don't really know, but I think they can do a squad of 25 or 26 again, so yeah.
I found it funny. So, like, AFL YouTube puts up stuff, obviously correlating with what's going on. They put up the 2005 Wizard Cup final highlights between Carlton and West Coast.
Sure.
Where Fed 8, obviously. That, like, watch it. It's unbelievable how hyped people are for preseason cup.
Yeah.
Like, it's psychotic. And, like, you've got Fev doing the twirlies. You've got people, like, gutturally cheering in the crowd. You got Judd, like, stepping through people as the, you know, just won the Brownlow medal. And then you read the comments and you're like, oh, it's interesting because Carlton won.
Yep.
And you go, oh, it's interesting to think that West Coast went on to play back-to-back grand finals and Carlton finished in the wooden spoon that year. So.
Well, same with us in 2013 when we, you know, absolutely
beat Carlton.
Blitz Carlton in the NAB Cup and smacked him. And I was like, yep, let's go. Big season ahead. NAB Cup winners. And then I think round one against the Bulldogs and we got smashed by 10 goals. And you're like, oh, that's right. Here's reality. Knock, knock. Here I am.
Yeah, that was the unfortunate reality of the early to mid-teen 2000, whatever.
Yeah, well, I was
tweens.
Vossi's last year and then Leper took over soon after.
God. PTSD, man.
All right, let's move along. Hey, we did have one question come through from Brad, and I say one question, but it was sort of like a series of questions in one post. Let's kick things off here. Is Gardner really in our best 22?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a maybe at this
point. It's like the jury's out. You can't really tell at this point in time. Like, he could be totally invaluable to our 22. But also, I think I got to stick by my, like, the 22 will win you games, but the squad will win you the premiership ultimately, I think. Yeah. So.
And I think there will be games where he plays. And like I said last week, if McStay was still on our list last year, he would have played every week as that third tall and it wouldn't have been a discussion. So, you know, maybe Gardner can do that. Maybe not. Maybe he'll come in, you know, as a boutique player to play certain clubs. I'm not sure. Where was Joey during the practice match against the Suns? Man was nowhere to be seen. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, probably thinking about, like, using, you know, he doesn't have a TV, so he's obviously just daydreaming.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's good at, I guess. But yeah, I think you said it best. Rather it be then than it be in round one.
Yeah. And his final sort of question in this post here, who are you boys most excited to see this year for potential improvement? He'd really like to see Hipwood go an extra level. And then he finishes things off by saying, thank God footy's back. And I definitely agree with that last little sentiment there. But it would be nice to see Hipwood go to that level that we've all sort of been hoping for the last 4 or 5 years that, you know, we think we know he can get to, but maybe the reality is he has reached his peak and that's as good as we're going to get. But like I said, he looked good on Thursday, presented well, did a couple of nice things. Obviously, our last memory of him in the grand final was him having an absolute shocker. But he had some good moments last year. Let's just see if he can amp it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think his work rate and stuff is really good. Yeah. He was, for key forwards, had the highest number of goal assists in the competition, which I think is great for facilitating. And when you got guys around you, like, if he can lift 5-10%, then you're laughing. Yeah. Because how many goals did he kick? He's probably in the high 30s.
Yeah, around about, maybe. Yeah, 30, 40. Probably closer to 40.
Like, it's pretty fine. Like, just due to the nature of the goal hoggers up there, you know, Chuck and Danaher are going to get the bulk of it. Like, how often do you ever see a third tall kick that many goals? So, you know, if you get into a situation, I suppose Cameron and Hawkins, but you know, they're the only two they've got, and maybe Henry kicked 40-odd, but I've just gone and disproved my own statement. So
no, cool. I get what you mean. We had a healthy number of players kick, like, above 20, which is pretty rare in the league.
So I think we talked about it last year, but there was an article that came out. It was a really good one about just sort of spread of like, A, targets inside 50 and B, goal kickers. And it was like our third, fourth and fifth targets were like the highest of any clubs targeting those players.
Yeah.
So we had a far more kind of like a equitable entry inside 50 comparative to other ones, you know, like, so Tex and Kerno and stuff, they were getting targeted almost every time the ball was going inside 50, whereas Charlie and Joe, I think Joe might even have been the third, and it was pretty high. So I don't know. I think going back to the question, though, if Hipwood can pick up, you know, 5-10%, can get to 5 or 10% more contests, I think that's great for us.
Yeah. I guess we sort of spoke about it last week, but I guess the meat of the question was, like, who are we most excited to see a level of improvement from this year?
Well, yours is Wilmot, obviously.
Yeah, mine was Wilmot, and I think I'll probably, you know, stick with that. I think he's definitely got, you know, what is this? He's, of course, like, third year in the system, sort of.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we can hope to see a little bit from him this year as well. I'm excited to see what Jasper Fletcher can do, and then, yeah.
Yeah, Fletcher would probably be mine. Sharpie as well, just if he can get a string of games. But, you know, even just a bit more consistency out of Bailey and Rayner.
Yeah.
I think, I hope Jared Berry bounces back, because I know, particularly within the fan base, he tends to cop a lot of shit. So, I just hope he bounces back in a good way after the grand final, because, yeah, I think it's easy to pin on him the loss, and I don't think it's kind of that clear cut. So given the fact that I also pin it entirely on JL,
yes,
I would be remiss to say that anyone that's going to blame it on Jared Berry can get out of here.
Well, I mean, I heard Bez was interviewed a fair way after the grand final, maybe a couple of months, and I think him and Tom Berry were doing a run for breast cancer. It was like a marathon or something to that effect. And he did sort of open up and say, yeah, I dwelled on the grand final, especially his performance and especially the 15-meter penalties and all that sort of stuff. But he did put it into context as like, well, you know, I've had a lot bigger shit happen in my life than that, so you've got to compartmentalize it as much as you can and realize that at the end of the day, it's a game and all that sort of stuff. So I think he had a healthy attitude to it by the time that, you know, that question rolled around, but there's no doubt that it definitely weighed on him for a while.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's stuff that weighs on me. Under eights, missing a goal. No, I'm just joking. I think I also read that. I think he said it's not life and death, yeah, which was kind of contextualized within what he was doing and stuff that's happened with his family and whatnot. So, I think they're the things I'm more probably interested in. And even if, like, that new fella Morris can get, like, a game or two, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Could be cool. It's always nice to see a young player come in and do something. So whether that actually happens or not is a different thing entirely.
Well, we spoke about it last week, our key forward depth and how it's sort of a little bit lacking compared to the back six, but now suddenly Gardner's an option. Logan Morris is there, thereabouts. We spoke about Fort, but someone we completely forgot to mention was Brandon Ryan, who was specifically brought in for that position and got a
is
bit
that his name?
Yes, yeah. I called him Jacob Ryan for so long, and I don't know why. It just, I don't know. Maybe it's the two first name thing. I don't know. I just could not get Jacob Ryan out of my head for whatever reason. But Brandon Ryan, so we got a bit of a look at him on Thursday. Didn't necessarily set the world on fire, but he had a couple of senior appearances for Hawthorn where he did some nice things, especially that game against Collingwood. So it's good to have him there as depth. And, you know, as the VFL season progresses, I guess we'll see what he's made of.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to say.
Okay.
Fortunately.
Cool.
He kicked a couple of goals and he was tall and rangy. I think it's probably like as much as anything, like he's in the right place to learn from two similarly built type individuals on how to be that kind of player.
Yeah.
Hip would probably tell you to work on your tank, and Danaher would probably tell you to not watch TV and
read some nature. That,
you know? Read some literature.
Yeah.
Read about the ship of Theseus.
Yeah, there's your advice. The other thing that sort of happened throughout the week, our leadership group was announced, and once again, it is quite a lengthy list. But our captains are the same. Harrison Neal will be the captains. Huey remains vice captain. He's joined by Dunks for the first time in that position. So first time for him in the leadership group, and then we added a whole host to the extended leader group. So we had Charlie Cameron, Cam Rayner, Brandon Starcevich, Jared Berry, and Oscar McInerney. So a few little swaps in and out of there. Dane Zorko nowhere to be seen in that leadership group, but you know he's sort of like that extra leader out there just due to the experience he's had and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like it's probably in one ear out the other with most players in Zorko, to be honest.
Maybe.
That's how I treat it. If he was like trying to tell me what to do when I was in the leadership group, I'd just be like, okay, Dane. It's kind of like that racist uncle at Christmas or whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, cloud seeding or whatever they call it. Like chemtrails, yeah, all good, man. Like, great stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Like, admittedly, the first thing I thought was like that question last week. It's like, oh, are we worried about McCluggage not being signed on? It's like, yeah, he's the vice captain. It's like, now we've got another vice captain. It's like, shit. Yeah.
Well, take from this.
I was going to actually, I did a bit of thinking about that during the week because I was sort of thinking, like, what other clubs have that level of salary cap that are in the premiership window to give to him? And I couldn't really come up with too many, to be honest. Like, there are lots of teams that are kind of in the premiership window, but they've largely got pretty good midfields.
Yep.
And I don't think that he would, like, why would you want to leave a club that's right in it for, you know, 20% more dosh.
Who knows? Like, there's probably a bunch of factors that he may have to consider. And I mean, I don't see him leaving. And take from him what you will. He did a, I think he was part of the Auskick launch or something here in Queensland, did a bit of a Channel 7 sort of news interview. It was a little bit of a fluff piece. So they didn't talk too much about footy, more about AFL and Queensland sort of thing. But he did say he was happy to be a Queenslander. He's got himself a Queensland Maroon instead of Origin Guernsey. And he said, well, that makes me a Queenslander, doesn't it? So take from that what you will. I don't think there's too much to be worried about. Once again, if we get to the bye and he hasn't signed a contract, then yeah, maybe alarm bells start ringing. But I don't think.
Which bye?
The proper one.
Yeah. No, so the rest of that leadership group, I think a couple of new faces, maybe Rayner and Sarcevic. We were kind of debating, like, was Owe in there last year?
Maybe. Honestly, remember. it's a huge group, and a lot of people outside the club say, yeah, it's too many voices. It's what are you getting from putting that many people on the list in your leadership group? Does it sort of take away the value of being a leader when you know, basically half
maybe
the squad's
on there?
Maybe
they're just looking for like a really large democracy.
Who knows what the theory
voting
is.
Voting for which colour Gatorade and stuff they get at the end of the game or, you know.
I mean, you can't say it doesn't work. We made a grand final kick away from a premiership. Yeah. So there's, you know, whatever. It's not like that the late 2000s where we had how many captains or whatever it was. We had like 5 captains or something.
Oh, yeah. They should have just made Brownie the captain and gone with it. But yep. Instead, it was like everyone, one in every line. But instead of every line, it was like fullback. Centre half back, centres, yeah. Half forward, full forward. It's like you've literally created new lines to put leaders in. Great. Yeah. You were going to talk about my favourite man in the media, Kane Corns.
Yeah. This is a couple of weeks old now, but seeing as our leadership group has been announced since then, and I guess it's a topic to talk about. He ranked every AFL captain from 1 to 18. Now, obviously, there's a couple of clubs that have got co-captains, including us. He said, when a team has multiple captains, I've picked the one I see as the dominant leader. So, for us, he went with Lachie Neale as the dominant leader, which we both had a chat and disagreed with. I think we could probably both agree that Harris is on the
He's the game day captain. Yeah. By a mile.
And I'm not going to go through all 18, but he had Bontempelli ranked at number 1, Toby Green, Max Gawn, Patrick Cripps, Darcy Moore, Jordan Dawson, and Lachie Neale at number 7, ahead of Dangerfield, Zach Merritt, Jack Steele, Callum Mills, and the list goes down. So he's picked Neale for one, which is, I guess, he's the obvious choice for someone that doesn't know a huge amount of footy. Oh, yeah, double Brownlow medalist, gets lots of football, centre, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, in that respect, he's the dominant footballer. He's the stat getter. He's the, like I said, double Brownlow medalist. But in terms of leadership, in dominant leadership is the criteria he used. I think Harris sort of ticks those boxes more.
Yeah, I find it like probably at 7 is the right spot if it's Harris.
Yep.
Like, you know, because I feel like if you're looking at the list in a whole, Darcy Moore could be higher up. But it's kind of, I find it weird because like the things that would make Neale a good captain by this metric, and I said this before we started, like Bontempelli to me, I don't think he's the best captain in the game. Like I think he's a good, like he's a great player, but that doesn't translate to being a great captain. I don't think that he like lifts his team. I've spoken kind of theoretically about the idea of leading by leadership rather than leading by example. And I know it's like a bit of a fuzzy kind of thing that doesn't kind of make a lot of sense, but there's ways to kind of collect your team rather than being like, all right, I'm going to show what to do, of being able to get, you know, having like a good leadership stat. It's a hard thing to quantify, but I don't know whether Bontempelli has that for the same reasons that I don't know whether Neale has that. But at the same time, like, one's the best captain and one's the 7th best. It does sort of doesn't make sense to me. But aside from that, like, yeah, to me, I always sort of see Lachie as the kind of the media guy and Harris as the actual captain.
Yep.
He's the one that tends to lead them out. He was the one that fronted up twice after the grand final. And I think he's the one with the level of longevity and the kind of the element of like Shannon Hearn-ism
yep.
to him. you know, where he'll be the captain for as long as he's at the club. Neil probably only has two or three more years, to be honest.
Yeah, that sounds about 31, right. Yeah, 30, 31. So, yeah, you're probably right there. Interesting thing we also talked about before we started recording. He had Jared Witts as the Gold Coast option, considering they've got co-captains with Tuke Miller, down at number 13. So he's opted for Jared Witts over Tuke Miller for the same reasons that we would have chosen Harris.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's doesn't know. He's just decided, you know, maybe he would... I was going to say he's scared that he was just going to get blasted, but he's never been scared of that.
No, well, it's you know, I like Kane Corns. I think largely he's, like, his analysis has gone from being, like, dog shit clickbait to being, like, it's sort of more like what he says rather than, like, how he says it rather than what he says. But, you know, he's been really, like, this preseason's been really funny. He's been so coy on Port Adelaide the whole time, like, not picking him to be in the eight.
He's been smashing West Coast. Any opportunity he gets, but he's been doing that for years.
Smashing Western Bulldogs, smashing Bevo.
Yeah.
I watched a thing actually the other week where, like, he was saying every coach has done some front up except Bevo. And I gotta agree with that. It's pretty weird. But, like, if you're a club that is underperforming year on year, and your coach has gone absent in the media for the whole preseason, like, and you're also a bit maligned. I wouldn't want Bevo to be my coach. He did make a pretty bold statement about our coaching situation. Did you hear it?
Yes, he did say that Chris Scott was going to be the next coach of Brisbane once Fags decides that his time's up. And I think that will be up to Chris Fagan.
Yeah, I do too. Does that excite you?
Does it excite me? It depends. It really depends on where we are in a team, I think. Fags is contracted to the end of next year, maybe 26. I think it's next year, though. If Fags decides that at the end of next year, that's it for him, and we're still sitting around that top four, top six, then yeah, I welcome Chris Scott coming up and seeing if he can reignite us and push up us a little bit more, hopefully steal another premiership. I say another premiership. If it's at the point where, you know, Fags is held on to 2028, 2029, and we're back in the pack, sort of that bottom 10, then I don't think Chris Scott is the answer then. I think maybe we just... It's probably rebuild time at that stage.
I can't see Fagan holding on that long. No. Like, because it's sort of... He had such a horrible year last year, and I think that affected him a lot more than kind of most people realised. And I honestly think that if he wins the premiership this year, he'll retire.
Really? Yep. Even though he just signed another year?
Nah, I think it'll just be like well, I've taken us to the top, but they'll have to have had a contingency in place.
Yeah.
So, and to me, that's really reminiscent of kind of almost what happened with Chris Scott the first time around, like joining Geelong after Bomber Thompson.
Yeah.
On the tail end of their kind of like pretty glorious time. So it could be pretty interesting. Like, I said a couple of years, or, you know, when the Hawthorn stuff started, I was like, oh, I reckon Brad Scott will wind up being the coach.
That's right.
And I've, you know, genealogically, not that far off.
Yeah. Like I said, it depends on the context of where we are. But if that 2025 mark and Chris Scott takes over and we're sort of still in the upper echelon, yeah, I think that'd be really good. And it also... Like, you have to think Chris Fagan will be part of Tasmanian footy when that really starts getting off the ground. Like, he'll be one of the big names that they're going to throw cash at as a footy manager, or maybe even, you know, CEO
of coaching or something
like that. Yeah, he'll have a big wig job down there. I think they'll make sure that happens. And, you know, I think he would like that too. And I think that'd be good for AFL in general.
It'd be good for the football. Like, good for everything, I reckon. So... Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Like, it's an interesting take. He's an odd fella, little Kane Corns.
Yeah, and...
Odd fella.
Yeah, look, people got all sorts of opinions on him. Sometimes I like him, sometimes I'm like, you're just saying that because it's been a minute since anyone's paid you attention, so you've got to, you know... like an ADD kid is like, I'm going to kick a hole in the wall so my parents will yell at me because that's the only way I can get attention.
Yeah, unfortunately, your parents are up in a Echuca and that's too far away, so you end up pulling everyone's windscreen wipers off their cars and then not turning up to training. So,
yeah. Well, we spoke about Melbourne's off-season last week and it hasn't gone from bad to worse since then, but we won't. I mean, there's no point talking about it anymore, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, back helmet.
Well, not just that. I mean, the whole Joel Smith thing is gone from, you know, this bad to this bad. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you surprised?
No, probably not. But I'm not surprised. And I think, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, they're all doing it. It's just the ones that get caught. I think there is definitely a degree of that. I don't think they're all doing it, but I do think that more than people think are into nefarious behaviors. It's obviously just a big deal when it escalates and gets caught and then it results in bans and then suddenly, oh, there's text messages to other teammates and stuff and you're like, ooh.
I read an interesting comment on YouTube and I know that sounds like an absolute oxymoron, but there seems to be this rhetoric of like, oh, you know, we can't make footballers, you know, always do this and like be held to unrealistic expectations. This comment says, stop saying AFL players have to do stuff the public doesn't have to. Most of us do drug and alcohol tests for work. On average, it's once a year per player in the AFL, and it's about 4 to 5 times on average for anyone in mining, oil, gas, refineries, etc. Anonymity is not there. Everyone knows if you go in for a drug test and don't come back to work, it's like going to do a head lice check in school and you don't come back to class. Everyone knows it's because you had nits. And I don't think that that could be said in a better way than it is there. Like, there, most jobs you will be subjected to drug and alcohol testing, or a lot of jobs.
Yeah. I mean, I can say I've never had one at my current place of work, and I've worked here almost 8 years.
Yeah, but they kind of encourage that for a radio shock jockey, don't they?
I wouldn't say they encourage it, no. But he's right. It's like no one gives a shit. The general public don't give a shit if a minor, and I mean M-I-N-E-R, takes a week off work because they tested positive for XYZ. That's not news. But, you know, an elite-level sportsman, yes, of course that's news. How can we fling feces at this person now?
Yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, it's... Yeah, that's a good point. But I guess it's more just like, if it's a systemic issue within the AFL, then, you know, bans are going to do something to it. Like, education's not there. Like, that's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, club culture's not really going to do anything. Maybe, I don't know. Like, particularly when you got stories about Simon Goodwin, stuff like that.
It's true. And who
well,
knows?
Clearly it's, you know, it's poison from the top. Yeah, I don't know. Is it surprising? Probably not. I think it's probably a far greater thing, you know, within the AFL than people would think. There's also just, yeah, there's general things with, you know, if, like, how the hell did Jeremy Howe come back in like 2 months from a double compound fractured arm and Dacos come back from a broken leg in 6 weeks? Like, something in the water at Collingwood.
I mean, I don't know about that. I'm not going to... It's just like, it's different to a soft tissue injury where you can injure it again. It's like, sort of once the bone's in place and healed, yeah, you might be playing with pain, but you can sort of get the job done to an extent. I mean, I don't know.
Just cut that bit out. We don't need to hear that. My weird theorising about performance enhancements.
Yeah, so I don't know. They've obviously had an off-season from hell, Melbourne. It'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. But we've got another game coming up this Thursday against the Swans, which is bloody exciting stuff. Be interesting to see if there's any changes to what happened last week. And then the real stuff is not far away at all. 10, 11 days for us.
That is a short amount of time, isn't it?
Yeah. Next Friday night. Gabba.
Opening round.
Yeah.
Opening round. Round one, round 2-1. 2A, 1A, 1B.
Well, 2A's the bye.
Yeah, true. I think everyone's been making that same joke too, so I feel like some sort of old curmudgeon doing that. So,
well, I mean, it is strange, and people will have their fun with it until it's in the rearview mirror. So, in the meantime, it's stuff to look forward to. Don't forget To head to our website, brisbanelionsfancast.com.au. Make sure you follow us on socials. Join our Discord channel. Have a chat to us there. All the links, anything you want to get involved with, is at brisbanelionsfancast.com.au. Of course, we I've got that double pass to the Q Clash, the premium tickets to raffle off as well. And also check out our sponsors. Hop on brewerytours.com.au and Crisp Communications, crispcoms.co. Or check them out on Instagram as well. They've got great stuff. Both of them, you know, hop on brewery tours. You can check out the best beers in Queensland, find out how they're made, sample them, learn about, you know, what goes into making craft ales. And then, of course, Crisp Communications, your one-stop marketing shop, digital marketing, email marketing, commerce, anything you need. Even if you need help with your own podcast, Crisp Comms will help you out there. So check them out.
You got them on the blower last week about the audio issues, right?
Yeah, no, and that's why they're all fixed.
Beautiful.
And of course, our Patreon, we're going to put this one up on YouTube as well for free, considering our audio was a bit sort of ant last week. This one's going to go up on YouTube for free for everyone, and of course Patreon. But if you do want to see us in video form each and every week, make sure you do join our Patreon. Once again, the links to get involved in that one at brisbanelionsfancast.com.au. And the next time we chat to you, we'll have another game of footy to talk about and a real game of footy to look forward to. Woo!
I can't wait. Well, just for reference, this isn't my microphone. I think there was a bit of conjecture that it was like, I'm not talking through this. I've got a microphone here. It's just a little bit out of sight, out of mind. So I don't have the infrastructure and the mad manic studio piping to, you know, get it to sit down like a cool thing. I'm dealing with fucking trolleys and stuff, man. Like, it's all hands on deck. I can't do any of this stuff tax write-off like Brooksy.
So. It's all fine. It's all fine. Thanks for joining us again for another week. And we'll be back with a game to look forward to against the Blues.